Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and our focus today on Route 51 is the recall election in northern Wisconsin's 12-state Senate district. Incumbent Democrat Jim Holprin will face Republican Tea Party leader and Eagle River businesswoman Kim Simak in an election that will take place Tuesday, August 16th. Simak organized the recall drive against Holprin. She went on to defeat fellow Republican Bob Lusso in a primary contest. Jim Holprin will join us live in the second half of our program. A scheduling conflict prevented Kim Simak from a live appearance today, but we did record an interview with her for this program late yesterday, and we started by asking her about the campaign.
Well, I think the campaign's going great. We've been learning a lot and moving our feet every day around the district, meeting people. Lots of great folks out there.
For the people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and the equestrian business that you run in Eagle River.
Okay, well, I own a small training business. I have raised horses. I've ridden horses all my life. I have the pleasure of being able to spend most of my summers with young children who love horses as much as I do, and it's absolutely a really wonderful business.
You've raised 9 kids?
Yes, I have.
What led you to become involved in the Northwoods Patriots?
I became involved because I was concerned about some of the things that were happening in our country, and I want to be sure that our children have the opportunity to raise their children in this wonderful area and have the opportunities like we were given.
How did that background as a Tea Party organizer help you in organizing this recall drive against Mr. Holprin?
Well, I think that the skills that I've had all my life of being a small business owner and being a mom trying to juggle 9 children and all their schedules is what gave me the skills to be able to handle the recall, be the leader of the recall.
And why do you think Jim Holprin needs to be recalled?
Well, I think Jim Holprin needs to be recalled because he left his constituents without a place at the table for 3 full weeks. I think it was a big disappointment to the people who were looking for a true leader or somebody who would represent them in some very difficult times.
Are there any other big issues for you in your Northwoods district, things that you think distinguish you from Mr. Holprin?
Well, I think that what distinguishes me from Mr. Holprin is that in his first 6 months of office, I mean, he voted in and agreed to a huge tax increase, $4.7 billion, and the effects of it now are being felt all across this district as people are having a hard time keeping their doors open. The foreclosure listings keep getting bigger. Seniors are having a harder time being able to hang on to their properties. And I think that we see the loss of over 3,000 jobs in our district. And I think that basically that's the big difference is I want to be a person that brings back the vitality and prosperity to our district to work to go down there and bring some common sense, which is greatly needed at the table right now.
Democrats argue that we need a balanced approach to taking care of budget deficits, that just spending cuts are going to make it too tough on the poor, on the working class, and people who really can't afford to have programs cut, that we need some revenue, particularly on the wealthiest individuals. Your response?
I think that across the board we've become a pretty bloated society. So I think all we're saying now at this point is that we need to all take a look at what it is we are spending money on, all of the programs, all of the ways that we are spending the very important tax dollars that are being collected. Are we being wise? Are we being smart? And I think that's all that's being asked at this point.
Do you support the Walker budget?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you.
Governor Walker's budget, which was just passed by the Assembly and the Senate, do you support it, at least generally speaking?
Well, I think every budget is a work in progress. I think that there is a very, it was a tough budget. I think that it was really great to see us at least all come to the conclusion that we better take a look at our fiscal house. Is it perfect? Of course not. Nothing is. That's what the table of negotiation is supposed to be for, and that's what the people of the 12th District would have appreciated, is that if our senator would have stayed at the table and helped work through some of these difficult problems instead of just going down to Illinois.
Democrats and labor leaders called Jim Holprin and the other 13 senators heroes for leaving the state capitol. They said he did it in order to call attention to what they're calling a power grab by the Republican Party, slowing down a bill that they say strips workers of their fundamental human right to organize and bargain collectively. And the argument goes that the union-busting activity, which is what they're calling it, on the part of Governor Walker and the Republicans, is just as bad as if they were taking basic civil rights away from black people and other minorities. And because what Walker and the Republicans did was so bad, the extraordinary action that Jim Holprin and the other Democrats took was not only justified, but their supporters are calling it the true mark of real patriotism. What's your response?
Certainly people are entitled to their own opinion, and what makes this country great is that there's so many different viewpoints. But what we need to realize is that critical reforms were needed, and they are making a difference around the state right now. There's good stories coming out all across the board. Municipalities are saving jobs. Schools are being able to balance their budgets. More money is being able to be effectively sent down into the classroom, which is where we need it, because at the end of the day, the most important thing we need is to put out a very quality product in our children so that they are able to get out and compete in the ever-changing world.
Getting back to this labor issue, the governor says that collective bargaining is not a fundamental human right, that it's a privilege and an entitlement that we really can't afford. Where do you come down on that?
I mean, I think that, we have certain rights, like the right to happiness, to freedom, to liberty. I just think that, personally, I don't believe, what I think we have the right to do is to be able to work together in this country and try to remember what it is that we were given as Americans and as Wisconsinites. Let's realize that we have to stop letting ourselves be divided into separate groups that don't work well together. And I think that's what we have to look at here. Everybody's got a different viewpoint of a lot of these issues, but at the end of the day, let's do what we know how to do best, which is work, provide for our families, and be a hospitable place for people to come to in this state.
The charge that's being made is that Republicans are anti-worker and anti-labor. And again, these are arguments. They've all but busted the public labor unions in Wisconsin. They're trying to do the same thing in Ohio and New Jersey. Right now, shutting down the Federal Aviation Administration in Washington, they claim, in order to bust the aviation unions. And some of the most outspoken Democrats say that Republicans hate union members and working people. How do you respond to that?
I mean, this is the whole question is, again, another example of how is it that we've allowed ourselves to become like this? You know, the whole world is changing out there. There's an industrial revolution going on in the world, and here in this state or in this country, we're talking about how we can pit each other against each other. We need to learn how to be productive. We need to learn how to work with each other, whether it be the union workers or the people like me who are small business owners, because we need each other to survive. So I don't like to go into these conversations where all we try to do is just put each other against the wall and see who can, kick at each other the hardest. So I wish really that we could put ourselves forward and get this state going on a good footing again. And I believe that's what I will be. That's the kind of the senator that I would be. That is my message, is that, and I think that's what's resonating with the people. The people want to have solutions. They don't want to be mired down in this, he said, she said, we can't do this. I mean, that's just my firm belief.
But, you know, whether we have unions or not is a fundamental policy question. A lot of union members are saying they're worried that the private unions in this state are the next that are going to be attacked. And they say, you know, the right to unionize is a fundamental human right. People marched in the streets. They died for that right. You know, it's what gave us the 5-day work week, the 40-hour work week. And they see it being chipped away. Ronald Reagan even called it a fundamental human right. So, I guess people who are union members who'd like to support your candidacy would like to see whether or not you support the right to unionize as a fundamental human right, whether you think it's a privilege, whether you think that, some people are worried that Republicans might eventually want to make Wisconsin a right-to-work state and make unions really a thing of the past.
Okay. I guess what I would say is this. I have my son. I have one of my sons is a policeman. He's a union member. I have no problem with that. I mean, is the union working for him and doing and representing, you know, all of them to the best of their ability? I think that's great. Our union's probably a work in progress because they've done so much through all the years. Absolutely. What I would hope is that unions would move with us on the times and see what we can do all together to create a competitive market again here in the United States instead of, like I said before, seemingly trying to pit each other against each other. And not that they're doing it. I mean, it just seems to be like the place we find ourselves. As far as a fundamental right, I have a spiritual side of me that I believe there's certain things that we are allowed to have. I don't really know, you know, how I don't throw out fundamental right just for loosely, I suppose I would say. I mean, I think that the unions have their place. They've done a lot in this country. The union members are hardworking people, and they're hardworking people just like the private sector people too, the small businessmen. We need to have all of us on board together. I mean, I guess you're trying to get me to say something that would give people the inkling that I wouldn't be for unions. And again, all I would say is I have a son that's a union member. I was a union member when I was a kid. I mean, here we go.
So you wouldn't be in favor of making Wisconsin a right to work state? That was the question I asked.
Oh, you all of that, and that was the question.
Well, it led up to it.
I think that what we need to do is to be able to be competitive in the worldwide marketplace. If being a right-to-work state is going to help us to be more competitive, then maybe that's something we would look at. But I believe that we have the ability here to keep in place what we have, work with everybody, and find the best solutions. So I don't think that we should be thinking because some critical reforms were needed, I don't think that we should think that the whole thing's going to go down the tubes. I mean,
okay.
I just don't.
Republican Kim Simak, who's running against incumbent Democrat Jim Holprin in the 12th State Senate District recall election August 16th. I'm Glenn Mobrig. We'll have more of our interview after this break.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. Today on Route 51, the candidates for Northern Wisconsin's 12th State Senate recall election. Incumbent Democrat Jim Holprin will join us live after 5:30. But first, the second half of our pre-recorded interview with his challenger, Republican Kim Simak. The governor is pointing to the 9,500 jobs created in Wisconsin this month. He says it's proof that his policies are working. Do you agree with him?
I think that in the last 6 months, 7 months, the amount of jobs that have been created in the state is really an indicator to look at. 9,500 jobs in the month of June, I don't know how we can discredit that as not good news. Almost 40,000 jobs since the beginning of the year. Now, how can we not look at that favorably? And from whatever spectrum of the side that you're on, I mean, isn't that great if we're making jobs?
Democrats are calling them low-paying, temporary, seasonal jobs. They say they can't support families. And then they counter that the governor has destroyed high-paying, high-tech jobs that would have secured the state's future by doing things like shutting down high-speed rail and imposing restrictions that have destroyed the wind energy business in Wisconsin. Are his priorities wrong here?
You know what? I don't think that we're going to be able to keep any businesses here if we don't make it a little bit easier for them to be here. And the regulations and all of the compliances are chasing people away from here. We have evidence of that as well over 100, almost 200,000 jobs. I mean, well over 100,000 jobs left this state under the fees and regulations that Jim Holprin signed on to with the Governor Doyle years. And so, I mean, to think that now, the fact that we even have been able to create 40,000 jobs, different people are starting to look at Wisconsin a little bit differently, and I would have to say that I think that it's in a favorable light. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
Governor Walker's budget cuts more than $1 billion from the public schools. The critics say the schools will be devastated. The budget balanced on the backs of school kids. And the charge further goes that we're crippling our economic future because kids won't be educated to compete in a high-tech world, and companies won't relocate in Wisconsin because they don't want to build plants and factories and communities with lousy school systems. Again, I'm asking you to respond to that criticism that's been made.
Well, I think it was $800 million that was cut, and I believe now in the next 2 years we've allotted $12 billion to address our schools in this state. And at some point we have to start trying to be smart about how it is we are saving our money. I mean, spending our money in the schools. $12 billion. Let's take a look at how we're spending that money. Let's be efficient with it. Try to work and make sure as many dollars get down to those kids in those classrooms for those teachers to use who need it. And work hard to make sure the product that we're putting out there is competitive with the worldwide market. And I don't see us slipping on that. I think that we could do a little work right now on it. I think nationwide we've slipped a little bit. But you know what? I don't think that you're going to see that coming out of our schools. We have some of the best schools. I raised 9 children up here. We have a wonderful school district. The surrounding districts are just great. So I don't think that's going to happen at all.
After your primary win, Kim, the chairman of the Democratic Party, Mike Tate, as could be expected, put out a very highly critical statement. He called you an extremist who's severely out of step with Northwood's voters. He adds, Simak thinks the Tea Party should write the lesson plans in our kids' schools. And then he adds, and despite a comfortable lifestyle and multiple business ventures, Simak has managed to pay nothing in state taxes over several years. What's your response to that, to those remarks?
I guess it's wonderful that a gentleman who has never met me a day in his life can have such an opinion, because I have never met Mr. Tate, and so I would never take the liberty of assuming any type of things about his life. I think that's once again a face of the climate here in the state that people are not resonating with. I'm a hardworking person. We don't do anything glamorous. Actually, mostly what I do since I raise horses is clean stalls a lot. We have a small farm. My husband's a well driver. He drives hand-driven wells. We're very proud of ourselves. So for him to think that our bottom line isn't quite glamorous enough or profitable enough for him to demean me, then I guess what he's saying is that more than 47% of the people in the United States and probably more than half of the people up here in this district aren't worthy of running for public office.
The specific attack is that you pay nothing in state taxes, and there's a liberal website that says you have delinquent property taxes on an Eagle River property. You had a news conference that had been scheduled, I think, to address some of those issues. Well, we've got you on the phone right now. Would you like to respond to those accusations today?
Okay. I have not. My property taxes are all paid. I am a struggling business owner, just like many up here, thanks to legislation signed by Jim Holprin that he definitely signed on to, a budget that is affecting almost everybody I know up here. As far as not paying estate income tax, at the bottom of my forms when I fill them out, there's no tax due. So did Mr. Tate and Mr. Holprin think that I should pay more money? Are they perhaps paying more money? I mean, at the bottom of my tax returns, I don't owe any tax liability. So do you want me to feel to apologize for that, or are they insinuating that I have done something fraudulent or that I am a tax evader? Because all I am is a small working business person who's trying to make a living up here, who contributes to this society, who has raised 9 children. I am admired in the town, and I have a good amount of rapport with the many clients I've had through many years. So, you know, this attack on me like this is attack on the constituents that make up the 12th district.
I'm going to ask you to respond to one more attack, and then we'll move in a different direction. Another liberal website, Talking Points Memo, had a column about you this week, accusing you of doing a web posting in which you compared America's public schools to Nazi Germany. And then they claim that the posting on the Patriot Action Network was later scrubbed. How do you respond to that allegation?
Well, I guess I would say, have you looked at any of the conservative places and see what they're talking about me, or do you just look at the, you know, the liberal places and pull those out? Have you ever thought about looking at the bright side of the things I've done? You talk about the patriotic children's books I write that support our troops and try to instill good and great values in our children for the future. No, but as far as that posting was talking about how we need to be careful about how the world is changing, about how we need to be careful about what it is we are putting into our schools. And we are being careful. We do need to have parent involvement and to make sure that we all work together to make sure that our American values are protected and defended. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But the comparison was there with Nazi Germany?
Excuse me?
The comparison in that original web posting, you compared public schools to Nazi Germany. Are you worried that we were heading down that direction?
I believe that, I think this was like 2 years ago. And I think that this, we were talking, the postings were just talking about the fact that I'm not worried about we're going that way. Absolutely not. Okay? But do we need to be careful and guard what we're doing? And are there similarities that seem to happen? I mean, we can't deny the fact that things are changing in the world and that we need to stand up for our American values. I mean, I don't think that is a conversation that that I should hide from. I mean, if you're, you know, I see what you're trying to do here to me. You're trying to just pin me in a corner. There's many things. Would we like to talk about how Senator Holfrin said that there was enough fees and taxes in the last budget to sink a big-sized battleship? You know, do we want to talk about that?
Well, Kim, you know, Kim, look, it's my job to ask tough questions of everyone who appears on the program, and that's what I do. I'm not trying to pin you in a corner. I'm just pointing out things that other people have said and giving you a chance to respond.
Okay, let me come back at it then. This is what
okay.
I would say. I am concerned about where we are going in our country. That's what drives me. I hope that we all wake up and realize that we have been blessed to live in this beautiful country, and we have probably not stewarded it as good and as great as we could have been. Like many, we have taken and we have not given back. I think we find ourselves at a turning point when we need to remember that we need to stand up for everything that is great and good about America as the world changes around us. And that is basically what I am all about. If you want to read my books, that's what I write about. If you see me with my grandchildren, that's what I try to do. And I think this is what you see happening across this country, is that people need to really take stock in what it is that we have been given and see and make sure that we can verify that we're going to hand it off to our children in the future.
Okay. Kim, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Twelfth-state Senate District Republican candidate Kim Simak in an interview recorded yesterday. I'm Glenn Moberg. When Route 51 returns, incumbent Democratic Senator Jim Holfrin joins us live in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio, taking your phone calls on the August 16th recall election at 1-800-780-9742. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with the candidates for the Northern Wisconsin 12th State Senate recall election. I'm Glenn Moberg. In addition to our usual Wisconsin Public Radio Ideas Network stations, this special broadcast is being carried by our friends at WXPR 91.7 FM Public Radio Plus in Rhinelander. In the first half hour, in a pre-recorded interview, we heard from Republican Kim Simak, a Tea Party leader and Eagle River businesswoman who organized the recall drive against incumbent Democrat Jim Holfrin. Now for the second part of the show, Senator Holfrin joins us live in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio. And in just a few minutes, he will be taking your phone calls live on the air at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. If you want to weigh in on the 12th Senate recall election race, if you'd like to talk to Jim Holfrin, our lines are wide open right now. You can get through at 1-800-780-9742. Jim Holfrin, thank you so much for being with us.
Very welcome, Glenn.
Political analysts say if the Republicans are going to pick off a Democratic seat during these recalls, you're the one who is most at risk because you represent a Republican-leaning district and you only won your seat by a couple of points in 2008 in a very Democratic year. Are you worried about this recall election?
Well, I'm not worried about the election, but I'm not confident either. I've never been confident that I was going to win any election that I've been involved in. And the pundits are right. This is a toss-up race. I'm in a vulnerable district for a Democrat in a Republican district. And we'll see what happens.
The stakes are high. If the Democrats manage to pick off three Republicans on August 9th, then if you lose to Kim Simak, it throws the state Senate and all the wheels of power right back in Republican hands, and there will be no checks on their agenda.
You make it sound so ominous. But indeed, this race has drawn, and not just the 12th Senate district race, but the recalls in Wisconsin have drawn national attention, and the stakes are different than they would be, in my opinion, at an ordinary November election.
And now the reason I bring this up is the question of money. How much money is being spent on this race by outside groups? How much money is coming to you from out-of-state union people, and how much is coming to Kim Simak from out-of-state conservative groups like the Club for Growth and Right to Life organizations?
Well, the simple answer is a lot. As of Tuesday, I've raised nearly $500,000, $500,000, Glenn, for a recall election in northern Wisconsin. And the money that I've raised, and I assume Ms. Simak has raised at least half that amount, maybe more, it doesn't begin to account for the outside spending, which is going into television and radio commercials, which everybody's hearing, and flyers that are showing up in the mail. So the candidates are probably going to end up spending over $1 million in this race, but the outside spending will be even higher.
And there's nothing to do that to curb that, given current finance laws.
That's right. We live in a country that has a constitution with a First Amendment that says people can speak freely. And what that means sometimes is they can raise and spend money to speak very freely. It's a First Amendment right for people to do that.
Well, your opponent, Kim Simak, spoke very freely in the first half of the program. Your reaction to what she said?
Well, I guess my only regret about anything that she said, Glenn, is she wasn't here in person to say it. And I really think the voters of the 12th Senate District need to hear us sitting across from each other at a table with an open microphone and a moderator or one or more moderators who can ask us questions and get identical answers from each of the candidates, or ask identical questions and get answers. And that format has seemed to elude us during this campaign. I know Ms. Simak has had a number of quote, scheduling conflicts, unquote, that prevent her from showing up face-to-face to talk to me. And I've always valued these forums. I've made an extra special effort to always make myself available for any of these forums or radio shows, and will continue to do that. And I guess I would just evaluate her comments by saying I wish I could have heard them in person and been here to respond to them.
She was particularly upset about what she says are lies coming from you and your campaign, in allegations that she doesn't pay her taxes. Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party, said in a news release, quote, Simak has managed to pay nothing in state taxes over several years. She's got a new campaign commercial out. We're going to play it, and then I'm going to play for you a question, in her words, that she wants to ask you.
Jim Holprin, tell your Madison friends to stop spreading these lies around. I pay my taxes, and I have the receipts to prove it.
Jim Holprin voted for Jim Doyle's big government agenda, a $3 billion spending spree that left us a huge deficit, $4 billion in higher taxes and fees that drove jobs away. Jim Holprin abandoned our Northwoods values long before he fled the state.
A debate about the size of government is fine, but spreading lies about me and my family isn't.
That's the campaign spot. Here's the question that she wanted to ask you in her own words.
I'd like to ask him why it is, as a gentleman who has worked and has a career of a record that he should be running on, that should be grand, does he feel that he needs to assault and slander and spread lies about a small businesswoman, a mother, and a grandmother?
You're spreading lies about Kim Simak's business, or at least your campaign is, according to her.
Glenn, we just talked about the outside spending that's coming into this district. So I need to point out at the beginning that a lot of these commercials that are being run, some of them containing lies about her, some of them containing lies about me, are not my campaign ads. Having said that, one of my campaign ads does focus on her tax liability. And I would agree with Ms. Simak that it you know, under state law, she has no tax obligation and therefore has paid no state income taxes in 2001, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2008. She paid $1 in 2007 and $4 in the year 2000. Now, those are not lies. Those are just facts coming out of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And I simply reveal those facts to the public so they can make their own judgment. The reason I did that, Glenn, is because we have a candidate who's talking about business taxes in Wisconsin and how they're too high and how we have an inhospitable business tax climate and how she would, if elected, work for lower business taxes and lower corporate taxes in Wisconsin. But state law says, as a small business person, she has no tax obligation. I mean, I've seen her farm, her home. I know she drives nice cars. She has a condominium and other of life's luxuries. How can it be that she has no tax obligation? Well, that's our state law, and I don't think our business climate is all that bad. That's all I'm pointing out.
What she's saying is that her business isn't making a profit because of decisions you and the Democrats made under Jim Doyle. Her statistics again, a $4.7 billion dollars in new taxes and fees, a spending spree of over $3 billion, which she says caused 100,000 jobs to leave the state, including 3,000 in your own district, and also led to people not being able to pay their property taxes, home foreclosures, and elderly people being forced out of their homes.
Well, there's no question we have a bad national economy, and that's reflected here in the state and in northern Wisconsin. And there's no question jobs have been lost, which we are now regaining. But I think Ms. Simek is saying that I voted for some tax increases, which I did, but apparently those tax increases are not impacting her. And that was the intent of Democrats who control the legislature, that we not have tax increases imposed on small business people. Indeed, it seems to be working for her because she's not paying any and hasn't for most of the last decade.
Well, you mentioned the jobs coming back. Governor Walker announced 9,500 jobs last month. I think the figure she used was 40,000 since he took office. Isn't that proof that his budget is working and the Republicans are doing the right thing?
Well, there's no question that job growth in Wisconsin is a good thing, and that's going to sometimes happen under Republican administrations, under Democratic administrations as well. So is the governor doing some things that are creating jobs in Wisconsin? Well, there's no question he is. We're an open-for-business state, and I commend the governor for the hard work he's done to try to draw businesses into this state. You know, Glenn, numbers are fun things, and, you know, when I was tourism secretary in the state from 2003 to 2007, we had a gain of 38,000 tourism sector jobs. Can I take responsibility for those?
She mounted the recall drive against you because of your decision to leave the state, Jim, something she called dereliction of duty. She said we needed you in Madison negotiating on the budget instead of running away to Illinois and shirking your responsibilities. Is that something that you're proud of, looking back at it now, and is it something that you think we would ever do again?
Well, I certainly understand that there were many, many people upset that 14 Senate Democrats left the Capitol. I understand how upset they are, and I respect that point of view. But I've met during this campaign, Glenn, literally thousands of people who have a different perspective. They believe I had a duty to do everything in my power to delay a vote on policy components of a budget repair bill so that their voice of objection could be heard. And they cheer me for leaving the Capitol. As you said during her segment, they tell me, your leaving gave me an opportunity to have my voice be heard. So to thousands and thousands of citizens throughout the 12th Senate District, I did do my job. I did do my duty. On this particular occasion, doing my job just happened to be not showing up for a vote. It took some other form. But, of course, we did return to the Capitol. We did take that vote. I voted with the governor for the fiscal components of the budget repair bill, one of only three Democrats to vote with the governor. And, you know, I might lose my job over this issue, and I'm prepared to do that. But politics is about choosing. And in this case, I chose to listen to those who said, do not let them take these rights away from me without a fight.
Some people think you should pay back the 3 weeks in salary, benefits, and pension contributions for the time you were away from Madison. Are you willing to do that?
No. I was working during that time, and again, thousands of people have said you were working and working hard, and I appreciate what you did. Well, you don't always have to be in the Capitol to be working. I'm working now.
Who paid for your meals and your hotel rooms while you were away?
all expenses for all 14 Senate Democrats were paid for by the individuals involved. I paid for all of my own gas and mileage, meals, lodging, meeting room expenses. Everything came out of my pocket.
Now, you know, when I talked to Kim in the last half hour, I mentioned that a lot of people see you as a hero for what you did. There was a harshly critical column written by Greg Walker, the publisher of two newspapers in your district, the Lakeland Times and the Northwoods River News. And he writes, in an age when our leaders should be out front for their constituents on the day's critical issues, Mr. Holpern has gone AWOL from the battle. He's been missing in action. Jim Holpern has become Wisconsin's invisible man. Senator Holpern, he writes, took the coward's path. He's no hero. He's no leader. Our young people especially should know that. How do you react when you see that written in the Lakeland Times and the Northwoods River News by probably the most powerful publisher in your district?
Well, Greg is a good ad salesman, a powerful publisher, I don't know, Glenn, but I react to his comments the same way I react to the thousands of other people who have confronted me and expressed essentially the same thing. And I've said to them, I understand how upset you are. I understand why you're upset. I understand why you feel the way you feel. And I respect that point of view. But I point out to them, as I just did to you, that there are thousands of others on the other side. And that's why this is a close race. That's why I'm in a vulnerable position. And that's why I may lose my seat over this issue. There's no question we are in divisive times in Wisconsin. And the things you just talked about are the reason why.
We spent a lot of time in the first segment talking about unions and what collective bargaining is. Is it a privilege or is it a right? Governor Walker makes this argument. He says collective bargaining is not a fundamental human right. It was granted by the state legislature 50 years ago. It's not in the Constitution, and the state legislature can take it away. He calls it a privilege and an expensive entitlement that the state can no longer afford.
Well, the governor is absolutely correct about collective bargaining not being a fundamental human right or a constitutional right, but it is a right in the state statutes. Chapter 11170 of the state statutes refers repeatedly to the right to collectively bargain, the right of workers to sit down at a table opposite their employers as equals. And so, again, the population of this state has split, Glenn, right down the middle, half believing it is a right, half believing it's simply a privilege and should be eliminated as it was.
Kim Simak says unions are dividing us. We need to all work together.
Well, Kim Simak talks a lot about working together and being moderate and bipartisan and all coming together at the table. But she organized one of the most divisive actions that can be taken, and that's recalling a sitting state senator. And I think you pointed out during your segment with her some of her comments as a Tea Party organizer over the last 2 years. So she certainly, by her actions and by her statements over the last 2 years, has not been moderate, has not been bipartisan, has not been willing to sit down and reason together. But now, as a candidate, asserts that this is what she intends to do. So there might be some credibility problems, and I think the voters are going to have to sort this out.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to a special edition of Route 51 on the 12th State Senate District recall election. We heard from Kim Simak, the Republican Tea Party leader, who's taking on Jim Holpern in the first half hour of the program. We've got Jim Holpern with us live, and we will be taking your questions right after this.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
State Senator Jim Holpern, who faces a recall election on August 16th, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. We have Jim in Irma. Jim, you're on with Jim Holpern.
Thanks. I want to thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio and WXPR, for doing this. Otherwise, we would have very little insight to these candidates. I want to talk a little bit about the experience of the candidates, and obviously Jim can explain his, but I've been trying to find out what Kim Simak's government experience has been, and to date, what I've found is zero. Never been on a city council, a town board, a county board, volunteered for committee work, and now she wants to be a senator. And to me, having served and volunteered on many of those type things and an independent business owner for 30-plus years in northern Wisconsin, you have to go through those processes to understand how government functions. And being an independent business owner, I can make decisions independent. I can buy something or sell something and not worry about all the ramifications. You can't do that with government. And so for someone that has experience raising children and shoveling manure, to me, that doesn't qualify you as a senator. You need to start somewhere, learn the ropes, and Jim might disagree. Shoveling that stuff might be part of the game, but it seems to me we need someone with experience, and Jim recognizes my voice, I'm sure, and knows he and I have gone around and around over the years, but someone that has zero experience that wants to be a senator, to me, is a real scary, not to mention her platform.
All right, Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. Jim Holprin, isn't there a place for citizen legislators, for me to take a separate tact than the one Jim from Irma just took? Isn't there a place for somebody who's a businessman to come up and challenge a sitting politician?
Well, there certainly is, Glenn, and Ron Johnson, our current U.S. senator, is a perfect example of that. I think he had a little more money than Kim Simek has to get himself elected, but he's a perfect example. And the citizen legislator model is one I think this state and country should continue to aspire to. But Jim Wise brings up a good point about experience in government, and that's what this election is designed to help voters decide, whether they want somebody with the experience that I have or whether they want somebody new who has no experience at all. And so the voter, again, that's what campaigns are about, and that's what voters will have to judge.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to State Senator Jim Holprin, who faces a recall election on August 16th, let's go to Ann in the town of Shiv. Ann, you're on Route 51 with Jim Holprin.
No, the town of Schley.
Town of Shive. I'm sorry. I saw that in front of me, and I knew I was going to get it wrong. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, I'm one of those public workers that was vilified and misrepresented in terms of what we do, what we get paid, when we've had raises, all those sorts of things. So I want to thank you for what you've done on this, Jim. And in my eyes, you're certainly no coward on this issue for having left the state. Instead, you defended us when there was no real negotiation. So thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Jim Holprin?
Well, you're very welcome. And I think this just kind of demonstrates how split this district is and the state is on this issue. And again, not everybody believes that leaving the state to delay a vote on a very, very significant issue was the wrong thing to do.
What I wanted to ask, though, is I received a phone call this weekend from, it was an automated message, from someone claiming to be with the DNC organization. And the first question, I hung up rather quickly, but the first question was, how likely are you to vote, to go to the polls to vote on August 9th?
They got the date wrong.
But I think that was rather deliberate, and I wondered if Senator Holprin knows anything about this, about where it's coming from.
Well, I tell you, Ann, I cannot keep track of the polls and the phone calls, much less the TV and radio commercials and the flyers and all. I wish I could, but yeah. I've got to go out and campaign. No, I haven't heard about that, and it's not surprising that they got it wrong. That happens frequently because the other six recalls. Well, I don't know. The other six recalls are on August 9th, of course. Only my recall and Senator Bob Wirch is on August 16th. So it's an understandable mix-up, and a lot of those national organizations make it.
But claiming to be part of the DNC organization, which would make one think that maybe it was coming from the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't put much in a conspiracy theory, but...
No, I don't generally either, but I was mortified to receive the call. And
thanks so much for the phone call. We've got other callers on the line, and I would encourage people, if you think you've been getting misleading phone calls, get in touch with me here at Wisconsin Public Radio at 715-261-6307. That might be a news story that we would want to follow up on. Thank you, Ann. Let's go to Karen right now in Rhinelander. Karen, you're on Route 51 with Jim Holprin.
Thank you. Jim, Kim Simek has been quoted as saying that she thinks that Medicare is a broken proposition and then she's going to reform it. And I'd like to hear your views on Badger Care, Senior Care, the programs in Wisconsin that are protecting seniors and people like me. Thank you.
Karen, thanks so much for the call. Jim?
Well, thank you, Karen. And we, when I say we, the Senate Democrats, fought pretty hard for senior care this past budget go-around after the governor recommended forcing senior citizens off of senior care and into Medicare Part D, and we won that fight. and senior care now continues unaltered, at least for the next 2 years, and we hope to launch a similar effort to get it reauthorized in Wisconsin through 2014, at least, by getting a waiver from the federal government. So I support strongly senior care, and I want to thank all those senior citizens who wrote in and signed a petition to help me do that. I support Badger Care. I understand that in our current budget circumstances, Badger Care is going to have to be reduced a little bit, and I think that would have happened under either Democrat or Republican administration. But I support the program, and I know the state supports it because a lot of money's going into it.
We're running out of time. I want to squeeze in another phone call. Let's go to Fred in Rhinelander. Fred, you're on Route 51.
Thank you. Kim Simic says you should have stayed in Madison back in February and helped negotiate a resolution to Walker's budget repair bill. How much negotiations was going on at that time, and do you think that was possible?
Jim, you've only got 15 seconds. I'm sorry.
We truly, when we were out of state, we truly believed we could strike a compromise with the governor. It turned out not to be true. I think that's unfortunate. I think a compromise could have been had, but we tried. We failed.
We want to thank our guests, incumbent Democratic State Senator Jim Holprin and his Republican challenger, Kim Simak. If you live in northern Wisconsin's 12th Senate District, don't forget to vote Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer and our on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. A special thank you to WXPR 91.7 FM Public Radio Plus in Rhinelander for joining our regular Ideas Network stations for this special broadcast. Next week on Route 51, the focus stays on Wisconsin's recall elections as we feature the candidates for the 14th Senate District, incumbent Republican Senator Luther Olson, and his challenger, Democratic Assemblyman Fred Clark. And mark your calendar for August 11th as we wrap up our summer music series with one of the top bluegrass bands in the country, Art Stevenson and Highwater, who will be performing at 5 o'clock live on the air in a free concert at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater here at the UW-Marathon County campus. Thanks for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.